Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 338 of Fourth and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Mr. Primo in the building and Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas. And we're talking about the Eagles defense, stay or go, with a little bit of combine talk in between. But, you know, to be real, a lot of Eagle fans are in their feels about the front office doing something. Be patient, little grasshopper.
Yes,
you haven't figured anything out about how Roseman, he's taking his time like he normally does. You saw what the beautiful work he did last season, which is going to be very tough to duplicate. But I wouldn't doubt Howie Roseman. Obviously, Eagle fans on the timeline are clamoring for guys to get tagged. No one got tagged. But you know, in this episode, we're going to go through the positions defensively, and figure out, you know, in the heart of hearts, who we want to stay, who we want to go, who makes sense. And overall, just kick through this roster. I mean, who are you guys clamoring for to come back this year? Just off the top, off the rip.
Of defense? Hargrave?
Okay.
Off the rip.
Hargrave and Brandon Graham. I mean, definitely would like to. Yeah, today's kind of quiet, man. I mean, it's scary. You mentioned the fact that, you know, Ken, it's kind of hard to go ahead and match what he did last year. So already today was like the start of it, not franchise tagging anybody. So, you know, a lot of people, including myself, were thinking that CJ was going to be that guy to get tagged today, and that didn't happen. So it's like you sit here and you question, you know, what is Howie got in, you know, in the works, the confidence level that he could go out there and either get somebody else, or is this, you know, just him being quiet because he might have something in plan to go ahead and maybe bring him back. I don't know. That's just the thing. Now we're back to playing the guessing game. So, you know, you mentioned that we got to be patient. Man, listen, patient runs out pretty quick here when it comes to the birds. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be interesting. And already started off being interesting by not franchise attacking anybody today.
Well, you know, I didn't expect to really to franchise anybody, because I think they're probably pretty close in the negotiations with pretty much whoever they gonna pick, because they still got another week before free agency starts. So they can, so soon as that starts, you know, then that's where you start sweating. See, right now we still have the option to negotiate with the guys that we feel like we want to keep. It's like, I'm not really pressed on tagging people. When you tag people, don't do nothing but piss them off. Because once you tag somebody, that means that you're putting their negotiations on the back burner. Because so you get other people that around, and then when they tag you, you see everybody getting all that fresh new money, fresh brand new money, and you don't get nothing but the tag. You don't start getting paid until the season. Everybody else, when they sign their check, their guarantee part, it depends on how they break it up. It's gonna be a chunky signing bonus checks, at least 7, possibly 8 figures. You know, damn.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, talking about, you know, man, my brain just went dead for a second.
Yeah.
It's the jacket, man. I think it's too fly.
You like it?
I think it's nice, man.
It's a little off season acquired this off season.
I like that.
No, I'm just thinking about like how he's, he probably has, you know, in place. Like, hey, if you guys go out there and get some numbers, they have a walk away number, but you know, you get your feels out there, see where you're at, and then they got their walk away number. I just, at the end of the day, Chauncey is a guy that he made tremendous plays last year. He has every right to get his value. You know, I'm not going to stand in the way of any player trying to get their value when they can, because you never know with this league. You never know when your last play is your last. Go get your money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't be mad at them trying to go out there and get that paper. I mean, that's what they play the game for. I mean, he had an awesome year, so he definitely showed that, you know, I mean, he definitely deserves it. Again, you know, you mentioned a good thing where, like, yeah, he could go out there, test the waters a little bit, see what people are offering him, and then, you know, maybe how he'll match it up, maybe how he'll go ahead and figure out something better. I don't know. That's just the thing. But, I mean, Hollis, I know you said it. We're about a week away from the franchise. I mean, the free agency. Hey, that's definitely when the nail biter starts. So,
well, no, it's like, I was never tagged, Mark. They always got me the season. Actually, I was always in the last year of most of my contracts. I was paid by the before Christmas. they would sign me during the season. It's like, go out there and prove to me that you want this money. And I go out there and kick a little ass and take some names, you know. Next thing you know, I'm sitting in a mink. No, but it's like, but I don't really worry about the tag. Because they can talk to the guys, agents who are currently on the roster. They can still talk to those guys. I'll be worried if they weren't talking to my guy now. It'll let me know if I'm a priority or not. Mm. But you know, because they're gonna run some numbers by some guys to see what's up. So once that first shoe hit, it's gonna be the day before it's gonna be a lot of people that's gonna be the people that's gonna resign with their clubs. They're gonna resign like that either that day before or the day of.
Talk about some numbers here. I saw it in the chat a couple times already, but Daniel Jones and the Giants agree on a 4-year, $160 million deal. $35 million in incentives, $82 million over the first 2 years, $94 million virtually guaranteed at signing. First year cap number around $19 million. This is from Ian Rappaport. So the Giants make their move. You know, some people say it was a deal. I don't like. It's up to them, but I definitely think they give some parameters for the Hurts deal. They know where the low end theory, which would be Daniel Jones, is.
He better get way more than that.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's Daniel the low Jones end. Sucks. This is the low end.
Let's cut the crap cake. The only reason we're happy about this damn signing is because he's in our division and he sucks ass. Yeah. There's no other way to say it. He's had a half of a good season. Not even a half of a good season. I gave respect for Dan Ostrowski this week because he said, we're going to sit here, we're going to pay Daniel Jones looking for more than 35 million. And he has yet to have a really good season. He had an okay season. And we're hanging our hats on that. Yeah, he showed some improvement. I was like, but it was one thing. It was a small sample size. To me, consistency is the key. And the decision making, he's got to have better decision making, and you just don't gain that overnight. It's something that's got to be within you. That's why the one thing that I always love about all my quarterbacks is decision-making ability. He has trouble, which is good for us, being go Birds. Go Birds. Way to go, Daniel. Yeah. Buy me a bottle. No. But I that's one of those signs where you scratch your head because then they leave Saquon Barkley out there.
Yeah,
but they franchise tagged him.
That's what I was getting at. I mean, earlier you made the comment that, you know, you're right. I didn't even think about that. Normally, when you go ahead and franchise tag somebody, that mm-hmm. does put that kill in the back of their head. Like, damn, you know what I mean? I got tagged. You know, that really shows what they think of me. So I got to give, yo, listen, mad props to the Giants for fucking this up. I give you all the props in the world. You signed that man for 4 years and all that money, and then you put the franchise tag on one of your best players. You know, I mean, respect the Barton because he had a great year. Start off the season because you probably pissed him off just as well. So, hey, listen, man, you guys are on the right note. I hope there's a lot of Giants fans watching this shit because, yeah, I'm speaking from the heart. I can't stand y'all, and I love it because y'all starting off on a good note for the season. I love it.
I'm not mad at it. Do your thing, Giants. We'll sit here and we'll do our thing over here. Do our thing tonight. We're gonna do our thing. Talk about this defense. Let's start with the linebacker group. I think overall, N'Kobe Dean is waiting in the wings while T.J. Edwards, some people might not have thought T.J. Edwards would have brought his lunch pail like he did, but he did and showed out this year. You got Kaiser White came in on a 1-year deal, really showcases his flavor. Even though we'll figure out who's coming back here. At the end of the day, you got Sean Bradley on special teams, Christian Ellis on special teams. I'm excited about the new pieces in this group. What do you guys think?
Well, T.J. Edwards is going to command a whole lot of cheese, so he's probably going to be gone. And it gives N'Kobe Dean the ability to step right in, and then you probably going to have to draft a couple of guys in a later part of the rounds, like the third, fourth, and fifth round. There's a few guys that I saw, not only I saw in the combine, but that I saw throughout the year that will fit wherever the new guy is going to do. I think the one thing the new guy is probably going to do, he's probably going to draft one or two young linebackers to mold them into running the defense. So, along with N'Kobe Dean. But the one thing that I do think that we're going to do is keep Kazir White. I think you're going to keep Kazir White because of his ability to cover. And then you have N'Kobe Dean as that thumper in the middle. And then obviously Hassan Reddick's not going anywhere, but he plays both. He plays both D-line and LB. So it's kind of a catch 22, which one you want to keep him with. So I did like the way they stepped up this year. This was the actual first year that we, as the Philadelphia Eagles fan base, didn't bitch and moan about the linebackers. I'm gonna turn this over to Prime because did you say something, Prime, when they drafted N'Kobe Dean?
I did, and thank you for giving me the spotlight because I'm gonna go ahead and still take props on pissing that man off at the Eagles Autism Challenge when I mentioned that we now have ourselves a linebacker. I didn't even notice until these guys brought it to my attention. He was walking by, he caught that statement. Hey, it is what it is. If it sparked him, put a firecracker in his ass, I did the job. You know what I mean? He had a great year. I'm not going to take nothing from him, man. He stepped up. I mean, you look at this lineup. It's like you mentioned, man. We actually had a year that we were able to not have say anything bad about our linebackers because they all played their asses off. I mean, N'Kobe Dean, he's definitely ready. He showed that he's ready to go ahead and be on the spotlight. T.J. Edwards, I agree. I mean, he had a great year, and he's probably going to ask for quite a bit of money. Don't see that happening, so I can see him going. Kazir White, I definitely would love to bring him back. Hassan, you know the deal, man. You know what he is. You know what he's all about. So there's nothing to really say much about him. He speaks, you know what I mean, with it all on the field. Those other guys, I mean, look, that's just the thing. We have I'm looking at this lineup, and I'm not too worried because it's the next man up mentality, and these guys are all in the perfect position to do that. So I think we'll be fine in our linebacker position. Now, are we going to talk about who's going to be the one to coach these guys? Because, I mean, there's a name out there that's being mentioned about coming in. But then there's also a player on our squad that isn't too happy about that. So it's just like up in the air, you know what I mean? What are we going to do here, you know?
That was weird. Matt Patricia. That's Patricia. He's had a history with Darius Slay. Darius Slay has been very vocal about his relationship prior to, the season starting. And then during the Super Bowl run, he mentioned it again. So obviously it's something on his mind. He did mention on Twitter, said, he's got a lot of guys on this team that he kind of gave the correct captain answer, which I appreciated on socials. But at the end of the day,
let me hear what he said so I can tell you exactly what he meant. What did he say?
Let me go find this thing
so I can tell you exactly what he meant, because he's probably just, he doesn't coach DBs. That's the one thing he's probably going to say.
Well, I mean, it still feels weird just even to mention Matt Patricia. I mean, we're talking about somebody that was coaching staff of a team that we despise quite a bit of years, and then to know that he's going to be, you know, might have the potential of being one of our, you know, linebacker coaches. I mean, it's just it is weird. But look, Darius Slay, he actually played under this guy, so he knows what this guy is all about. So I'm listening to our captain. I'm listening to what he's saying, what's on the back of his mind. He has the history with the guy. So, you know, we got to put and take all that into initiative on what he's all about. I mean, he's coached the team. He's coached Detroit. He wasn't the greatest. He didn't play that role that well. No. So it's just like, all right, what's going on?
And here? Then they played him, had him at offensive coordinator. An offensive coordinator with the Patriots last year. I was like, he was always a pretty decent
defensive coordinator. Was it the pencil?
The pencil problem. No, I was thinking about the head of. They moved him to offensive coordinator. He's a defensive coordinator. They moved him to offensive coordinator for the Patriots last year. I was like, wait a minute, what? But it's like
sounds like Kasher, right?
Yeah, sounds like when we moved Juan Castillas.
Juan Castillas, Juan
Castillas to defense coordinator from the offensive line coach. In any event, sometimes you do have a bone to pick with some coaches. If he's not coaching you, I mean, it's not going to cause a rift between them.
I hope not.
I'm still not. I'm still looking for that actual quote here, but But he said, he did talk on his extension. He said, I love Philly, man. I plan on staying in Philly, but if it don't happen, I know I got one more year left here. I want an extension with the Eagles. I love the Eagles. They took another chance on me, trading for me, and I panned out, of course. That was Darius Slay on his extension. Just talking about, while we're at it, just talking about position coaches here. Coming and going, Denard Wilson, a big player favorite amongst the secondary. A lot of players are lobbying for him to be the guy, to be the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Desai got the job, but Denard Wilson, you know, there was talks about recently this morning he got fired. He didn't get mutually. Parted ways can also be, you know, that's HR talk for like,
you know, mutually parted ways mean we agreed on some money, but when you fire, this whole different thing. They still got to pay you all your money unless you get another, but they still have to pay you all your money. Mutually parted ways meant the child agreed, both agreed to go your separate ways. When you fired, you weren't ready to go yet.
I mean, there's obviously a story behind it. I mean, not definitely taking nothing away from that. He linebacker coach, and now he has the opportunity. Well, not that he has. He has now been given the opportunity to be the defensive back coach in Baltimore. I saw that post a little while ago. So what's the story behind it? Is there something that is not being mentioned? Did something go wrong between them? Between him and Nick, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. I've heard the same thing, that a lot of players were calling for him to be the defensive coordinator. So it must have happened. And are we going to find out later on, or, you know, I mean, what's the deal behind that? I don't know.
I mean, the job that he took with the Ravens is essentially the same job, pretty much. I'd find it very odd that he wouldn't want to stay, because listen to the Sirianni presser, or he mentioned that I think the relationship, maybe, I don't know if it's there like we want it to be there, you know, because obviously I think he would have stayed with his guys. I felt like he had a good relationship. Or if he's trying to flex his like, hey man, I felt as Brian Johnson gets a chance to elevate, I think I have an opportunity to elevate. The little level of disrespect, I'll go somewhere else. Just like Deuce, he got an opportunity to interview for the head coaching job. That didn't happen.
Yeah, the Deuce one was a little different, though.
Right, but
Deuce had been there for a long-ass time, and the interview for the head coaching job a couple of times, it was never the coordinator. You got me staying here, but you're not moving me up. This is kind of different because Sirianni hired him, Gannon hired him, or whatever the hell it was. I was like, whatever happened, he just got fired. I was like, you got to put it this way. I'm not gonna let him. If I play him, I'm not gonna let him. I'm not gonna worry about him no more. I'm sorry he got fired, but time must carry on. Life goes on.
Life goes on. Is that it?
Yeah, that's life goes on.
Life goes,
what you gonna do?
Send him a card.
What, like? No, I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. Carry on with life.
Carry on. just like we carry on with life. We're gonna carry on to positions here.
Yes, please do.
Let's go to the big dogs. The big dogs in this group obviously added Hassan and the edge rushers over here, linebackers. Right. Hassan Reddick, at the end of the day, he came in, did his damn thing, actually. Very excited about what he brings to the table. He's the versatile chess piece in this mix. Brandon Graham, we talked about on the timeline about him coming back. Shout out to my guy Joe Castro, who beat Howard Eskin with that news about a two-year deal possibly coming back. And also, shout out to Jesse Wines because he posted it on his story. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Graham hearted it. So, hey, well, I don't know what that means. But looking at this group, looking at the middle of the group, Javon Hargrave, a guy who, you know, played his ass off, 11 sacks from the interior, very impressive. 11 sacks coming off the bench, Brandon Graham, also impressive. But the middle of the defense, along with Fletcher Cox could be the guy on the outside. Looking in, Javon Hargrave, one of the top free agents to be had. And then we have Milt Williams, who is a very nice rotational piece, along with the, you know, Jordan Davis, the first round draft pick of last season, who's coming into his own. Josh Sweat as well, man. Josh Sweat, man, he had an amazing season. As much as we talk about Hassan doing his damn thing, I think Josh Sweat had a great season.
Yeah. The one thing that I don't want to be missed in this in that front is the guys in the middle who are crushing their pockets, so those guys on the outside could get those sacks. When you watch a pass rush, that was the one thing that pissed me off in the Super Bowl. We didn't put our guys in the middle in one-on-one confrontation so they could crush the pocket. We kept opening up the middle, and Patrick Mahomes would step up and, you know, run and put our secondary in a bind. The one thing that these guys did for the most part with the four-man rush was crush the pocket so that our guys could get all those sacks on the edge. And they obviously got some sacks themselves. The one thing I don't want to lose is Hargrave. HG, you know, I don't want to lose him. You know, Fletcher's probably going to – he may stay and he may go. He may get in the middle and stay. But then you're probably going to look to draft somebody because they always be looking to get better. So you probably the one kid that I think they probably end up drafting if he falls to him late in the first round is a kid out of Pitt, University of Pitt. He's a little bit of a beast. So I mean, they're gonna always be looking to get better. Howie's always gonna be looking to get better. So, and it depends on what Dasani run.
I mean, that's part of my bad.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying that's part of the business, man. That's just you have a great year, and then when the year comes to an end, it's just like you have that in the back of your mind, like, shit, who's staying, who's going? This is one position that's definitely tough. I mean, we're talking about some veterans that we grew to love throughout all these years, Fletcher, Brandon, you know what I mean? Hassan Reddick has always been a fan favorite. Josh Sweat had a great year. You know, you got Hargrave in there. Hargrave is definitely – a key person that I'm hoping to God that they go ahead and come up with some type of agreement to keep him here. Jordan Davis going into his second year. I mean, the kid's he's bright, he's big, you know, he can do his thing. So he's definitely going to be stepping into that spotlight. And then this is one position that I got to say that Howie, you know, he doesn't seem to fail at, man, when it comes to the drafting. And he picked some, you know, talented players. I forgot to mention Milton Williams. What he did. This is one guy that I was – not really sure of, and then look.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I wasn't either. But he did his thing. You know, what I mean, he played it to his potential. He filled in when he needed to. So those I see all these names. There's only one name that sticks out. You know that I'm ready to go ahead and kick that boy out anytime.
Can't get right.
You know what I'm saying? He's ready. I'm ready to, for them to go ahead and cancel that boy out. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that I don't think. Yeah, because I don't think he only signed a 1 year deal, right? He only signed a 1 year deal, and then he got hurt. So,
I mean, I think he's still on the.
He's still
a rookie contract.
They picked up his 5th year option, didn't they? And then they, I think they signed up to like a 1 year deal after that.
At the end of the day, if Fletcher goes, listen, man, it's going to be hard, but you know what I mean?
That's going to be hard as fuck.
That's
going to be hard. And I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard on him too. I think they personally, you know, it actually depends. It depends on where his head's at and what he's talking about.
So, now, let's see here. He's still on for this year. His base salary is $1 million. His cap hit is $3.1 million. The dead cap. Let's see. The potential out year is this year.
Derek Barnett.
Mm-hmm. With Derek Barnett?
Can't get right.
Talking about, you bring up Kalijah Kancey. You know, if we're going to sprinkle in some combine thoughts, might as well speak on it. He ran a 4.67, fastest time since some guy named Aaron Donald went to the same school. Not the same exact player, but in terms of a technician, you talk about hand usage and bag of tricks for a young dude.
Destroying. Yeah.
I spent all day watching
I watched some of his games mostly, and I like the fact that he be taking them games. Some of the games he was taking over. Like, he was a man amongst boys. He was doing what I like to call backfield bootlegging. He would stay backfield all day long, creating havoc. And making plays. That's what you need. You need to jump off. When somebody turns on the film, if you don't jump off the film, I kind of don't want you on my squad. I mean, you know.
And that's the thing when I'm looking at some of these defensive linemen, you know, guys that like, you know, like the Miles Murphy or the Clemson, like he's doing things that I'm the way that he fires off the ball. You're starting to see him rise up in mocks, and some draft folks that I watched have been high on him since January and says called him a top 15 player. You're starting to see him getting mocked to us. And some Eagle fans are like, I'm not going to draft the DT with a 280 with short. Just go watch the tape. That's what I'm doing. I spent all day watching him today. Just to rewatch after that combine performance. But overall, talking about this group, I think you could add an edge rusher to this group in the draft. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a defensive line anywhere across the field. You could bring one in.
Yeah, but then it's also, you got to look at 29-year-old Frank Clark, who's about to be released.
He is already released.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
So that's what I said. Yeah. So when I say free agency dictates what you do in the draft. We got Reddick, we got Sweat. A 29-year-old Frank Clark wouldn't be that bad.
and to go along with
BG.
Going back against his favorite team.
Yeah,
to pull a Bradbury, maybe. Now, Nolan Smith, another guy who balled out at the combine, a little undersized, but he showed some athleticism. A lot of these Georgia dogs, including Jalen Carter, making some headlines.
Oh God, yeah.
That was awkward.
That was very awkward, and it's just like he was in his
interview, and he looked at his phone. It's like the one off of your arrest. I gotta go. Wow.
I mean, he'll be all right. I think his situation
disaster. Right.
I just think it's very weird how these stories drop on particular times.
They
wait for him.
I think I have more anticipation on what is going to be the headline news for one of these players going into the combine. There's always something. And look, now it came out about Jalen Carter. I mean, when the incident first happened at the Georgia game, the national championship, I didn't hear. I mean, I heard he was involved, but I didn't hear about, you know, he had driving reckless and all that stuff. So it was
they
just
was
like
racing. Well, see, when you listen to what they said, apparently he gave them a fable and told them some stuff. He was racing and came back and was helping. It's a long, drawn out story, but basically he kind of lied to the police.
It's crazy. So
his story is not matching up with the evidence and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, your friend would be like, get out of here. You don't need to be involved. And I'm sure I'm not going to speak on it. It's a tough situation. I'm just saying. It's just weird how a lot of this stuff gets dropped at the right specific time when it's draft season. But we'll see. We'll let it all play out, but we'll see.
I just work here.
Hey, man. There's a lot of news. Did you guys see the Joe Mixon situation? Where shots were fired, like, and a Nerf gun was involved. I know Prime got his little series on social media where he'd be pulling out Nerf gun. But this is a real situation with Mixon. I don't know what is going on with between Ja Morant, Joe Mixon. What is Mixon in the universe right now?
I don't know. It was supposed to be something where he pulled out a gun. Apparently they say he brandished a gun, and I guess it wasn't a gun. But is that what you're talking about when that happened?
This happened like this morning, isn't it?
This happened this morning?
Anderson Township, shots fired. Yeah.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Real shots?
Real shots.
Real shots? They shooting. Somebody shooting.
T. Carmack had a question for you, Hollis. He said, "What do you think of Tracy Rocker?"
I like Tracy. I thought he had a good chance to be the coordinator. He's a good. I think he's a really good teacher as far as the pass rush and the run defense. It's like he's one of those rare coaches that you can see that he puts time into the guys. But hand work and hand movements and stuff, and getting them, you know, keep your pad level low, and getting your hands on people and throwing them around, and treating them like street trash. But I watched his practices, some of his drills. I think he's a real good teacher. I think he's going to get an opportunity to be a defense coordinator pretty soon.
Now, speaking of another question here, we got from. Dave, he's talking about offense, but you know, we'll have at it. My thoughts: drafting O-line with the first pick. This is still, you know, this is not out of question. I just think there's some guys if they love, you know, there was you know, you said Paris, he showed out at the combine. The athleticism was great to see on tape. You talk about he's played inside.
Played outside.
You like the versatility. What's Northwestern? Skoronski, another player. But
I think it's like this, and that is a good question. I think it depends on who falls to us at that 10th pick,
or what Kelsey does,
Or
what Kelsey does.
Yeah, that too. But it's also you get. And what Bradbury does, you got to look at too. It's like if it's a corner that's rated higher than the offensive tackle that you're thinking of taking, you take somebody with that second first round pick that'll be there. It's like we need a corner depending on what you do in free agency. You're gonna need another corner.
We haven't drafted a corner since Lito Shepherd in the first round. Yeah, I think it's about time.
It's about time.
Now we all agree Devin Witherspoon was on our wish list. I kind of like Christian Gonzalez, but I kind of didn't like the fact that he was chasing his college coach. He went from Colorado to Oregon with his college defensive back coach. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But
he's trying to showcase the talent. Going on bigger stage, you know, Oregon gets all the love, or Oregon, or because
Mark's in here in the comments. He definitely has that love for
DJ Turner. DJ Turner.
Oh, from Michigan.
Oh yeah.
What do you run, like a 4.2 something?
4.26.
Are you guys not on the Joey Porter Jr. hype?
I like those three guys, man.
Those are all in good range.
You know what I like Joey Porter Jr.? Joey Porter Jr. is game for if you come at him, he's trying to stop you from getting the ball. And you don't see I just like the kid. He's tough and he plays pretty good. But Devin Witherspoon gives you that extra element of coming up and laying a thigh out on the run.
Yeah, Witherspoon, like I said in the last episode, I think I drove all the way down to the Senior Bowl just to see him if he was even a bit like he didn't. He wasn't there. I was very depressed after that.
Did you call to tell him?
I understood why he didn't. Well, you know, and then I was like, all right, at least I get to see him at the combine. Then he has a hammy issue, and I was like, please.
Bob, hell no.
Yeah,
that's a hell no for me.
Marcus Peters is he talks a lot of shit and gets toasted a lot. He does all the time. And they're not gonna let him. They're gonna re-sign him down there because he's a staple of the Ravens. So
burnt toast at that.
Well, one of his favorite sayings is "You feel me? You feel me? You feel me?"
Apparently not because you're toast. Warm buttered toast.
No, I mean I just thinking about this the way that this draft is gonna fall right now. I think it's kind of suiting what our needs right now. Like I feel like we're in a good spot right now. We're in a good situation.
The other thing is too, you got some decisions that have to be made in order for us to go ahead and come up with a great game plan for the draft. And when are we going to get these decisions made, man? That's just the other thing. That's just like,
Now this has been another topic on the timeline. Bijan Robinson from Texas. Everybody has been talking about. I mean, I think
big dog.
He's got it all. Like he can line up wide, run routes. His footwork is nice. He's got the complete package. Recently mocked
Roshan.
Who was Brugler had a mock to us moving back to 14.
Yeah.
And picking him up. I don't know.
I personally think that they're gonna wait to the second round or late first round and take his teammate Johnson. Who's a little bit bigger, 6'2", 223. And he's rated the best at in RPOs, the best running back in RPOs, running RPOs.
Yeah, watch Roshan Johnson at Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and then watch also McBride from what school is he from?
Dwayne McBride.
Both of those guys are beasts. He's like we had the scat thing, and I like Bijan. Bijan is his name means hero, by the way. Did you know that?
No.
His first name.
You said it last show, my guy.
I know. I wanted to make sure you guys heard me.
I'll be listening. See, man.
Well, actually, that's not because Prime wasn't with us last show.
No, sorry about that.
No, you good. But no, his name is hero. I would be happy with either one of them. But I think if Bijan, if he pulls us there at 10, that's hard to fucking pass up, giving away our offensive line block.
That is a hard one. I agree with you. Definitely a hard one.
6.1 yards per carry.
I mean,
and the way he moves and stuff and the way his route running, and he's a complete package. He blocks. He does everything. But there has been rumor that they've been, shopping Derrick Henry.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Derrick, like, that's another thing. Like, obviously, it's great. Like, on paper, great. I don't want to pay money for a running back who's been in the league for 7 years.
He's probably got about three tires left. I mean, he was on four.
But see, hear me out. We're a running team, but who are our receivers?
Yeah, well, give me.
You cannot load up the box thinking you're about to stop Derrick Henry.
Well,
who's our quarterback?
I'll take Charbonnet from UCLA. It'll be cheap. On 4 years, I wow for 4 years.
All right, so let's just say that Henry is an option. What are we giving up for him? What do you guys think we got to give up?
Probably
not.
Probably a third or fourth round pick. I don't give a fuck.
I'm definitely all with that, but I just don't see just a third.
It would be fun to watch.
It definitely would be fun to watch.
I'm just saying. It's like you remember when we had the big homie here, the Garrett Blunt.
Oh, absolutely. That's another. That's why I'm with
it. This is
gotta have that pick back.
And then, and this is the thing too. Say we actually get us a third receiver that can actually is reliable, and we don't have to worry about every time the ball goes to him whether he's going to fumble or not or catch it. That's why I talk with this voice inflection, because he was pissing me off. As I digress, just think of that offense and the threat of Jalen Hurts running the ball, and the threat of the other two guys beating you either over the top or whatever. Who are you going to stop?
Well, let's talk about digress. We are talking about the defensive line here.
Yeah, defensive apologies.
We're talking about the secondary. We're almost there.
Last week was slightly depressing, talking about, Miles and all that stuff. So it was just like, I caught up with the show, but I'm glad I asked that.
Was you gonna start crying?
I got my man up on the wall.
Back hey, here, so now. any guy that goes up on your wall will be let go the next season.
Because I made a big decision for this upcoming season. Stay tuned, because Miles is coming down. But yeah, I got somebody in the works that you can never take down. So I'm good. I'm good where I'm at.
Okay. Well, let's look at the secondary real quick. Darius Slay obviously balled out. People didn't realize he was playing with an injury halfway through the season. James Bradbury, he brought it last year. Talked about Brandon Graham early in the season, said James Bradbury was the guy in the offseason that was picking things up, and he really definitely put it down for the season. Marcus Epps, some who questioned his play. At the end of the day, he showed you what he was, gave you some good play for his first year as a starter. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a guy who really balled out. Even though he got injured, he still led with, six interceptions on the year. Avante Maddox dealt with that foot injury at the middle of the season, but Avante had a good year as well. I thought in terms of having a secondary, this is dope. It's been one of the best secondaries I've seen in a long time. They put together a really good group. Reed Blankenship gave you some good snaps. Zach McPherson, still waiting to see what he is as a player.
Oh, God.
Kayvon Wallace, another player who gave you some plays this year.
Kayvon actually he didn't live up to the total bill. But he was not totally out of position like he was in the previous years. I don't know if you paid attention to some of his angles on tackles, where he was supposed to be he was the only man left in the hole. His angles left a little something to the imagination. And Josiah Scott, they just played him close. He just it's like he's a player kid. It's like you had to play a corner all game, and then you moved him to safety and expect him to know he's got over the top. He's coming down. Yeah, it was so fucked up. It was one of the games we ended up losing. But I think I want to say Slay. They got behind Slay, and I know he should have looked who the safety was.
Cowboys. Because
It
was the 3rd and 30. What was it? 3rd and 30.
Yeah.
Can't ever forget that one. I mean, look. Again, another nice lineup there. Next man mentality. We're set there. We have Slay coming back. CJ is definitely the one on the radar that we got to go ahead and work something out with. Bradbury, I don't know, man. I mean, as much as I would love to keep him here, but with the money he's asking for, I'm not the financial guy. I'm not Howie. If he can figure something out, big ups for that. But if not, I get it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Part of the business, but 15 mil per year, three years. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to go ahead and match up.
I was watching Derek Gunn today.
Mm-hmm.
He did mention something about.
About what?
I don't know, man. About a trade for Slay.
A trade for Slay.
Yeah, I was like, I just gotta make sure I heard what I thought I heard. That was out there. Like I was like, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, let's not. The other thing I want to mention about Marcus Epps. I mean, I saw one of the comments that he needs to work on some things. Hey, listen, truth be told, yes, he does, but. He had an awesome year. Played his position great. Another one I'm going to go ahead and take credit for, you know what I mean, because I had that big brother, the little brother talking with him at the Eagles Autism, letting him know, yo, you are the man regardless of what people outside are saying about you. You know what I mean? You just go in there, do your thing, and he did. He did his thing. He played to his potential. So, I mean, big ups to the little man.
Shout out to Cut Me Open, I Bleed Green. Says Chauncey and Dak both led the league in interceptions.
Yeah. and Dak missed five games. They both missed five games too.
So CJ was pretty much telling Dak, just keep throwing it to me.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the one thing is like we're talking about Epps. He does need to. Somebody was talking about him wrapping up on tackles. He does need to wrap up on tackles.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the Super Bowl, that coverage, I blame that on coaching. I was like, they didn't look prepared. They looked like the fucking Keystone Cops out there on Super Bowl Sunday. When you see that type of stuff and that type of disarray, that means you're not even practicing. It's like sometimes when we first started running blitzes, it just looked like shit. Looked like we didn't even practice them in practice. The way you get good at things is to practice it over and over again. When you have an offseason, you have to come back and practice because you have to get those muscles back to where they were when you left. Right. It's like, and the only way to do that is practice. I don't know no other way to say it. And we don't look like we practice anything that week. It's like they ran the same shit that the Jacksonville Jaguars ran against us on those two touchdowns, the exact same shit. And to me, that's coaching. That's good. We ran the same bullshit again because what does Jonathan Gannon do? He does not change what he's doing. And it'll get you to the Super Bowl with the right personnel, but somebody's always going to be there to kick your ass when you continue to do the bend but don't break. You'll give up the third and 31s. You'll give up those type of plays on bend but don't break. It's like, it's not rocket science. If it's third and long, you make that motherfucker make a quick decision and you have good guys on your back end to make quality tackles and get the fuck off the field. It ain't that hard.
Yeah, good guys on your back end. It ain't that hard, huh?
I said good guys on the back end. I know your other screen has Pornhub on it. He's up there, buddy hacker.
Relax, Dick Cheney, as you would say.
No, let's talk about right, the
so we're letting Bradberry walk out in the green pastures.
Yeah,
is that what we're saying?
Gotta accept it.
This is what really quick sideboard. I think they should add a little bit more competition. Once we see what they're gonna do with the guys that we're gonna keep, if we're gonna stay or we're gonna stay, they should add some more competition to the secondary, especially because Maddox, as much as I love Maddox, he kind of screwed the pooch. I don't think he was ready. I think he just wanted to play in the Super Bowl. I don't really think he was ready. Or our coaching staff didn't do what they were supposed to do properly and had him out of position a lot. So everybody looked bad. But I think they add a little bit more competition. That's what I'm expecting them to add, some more competition. Because even though we had a great passing defense, you can't live off of last year. So I think we reinforce the secondary and come back with a bit of vengeance. There's going to be some people smiling, but it's going to be some people crying.
Now, according to SpotTrack, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's market value is $13.3 million average annual salary. Market value is a 5-year, $66 million deal, average salary 13 million, 13.3. What do you guys think about that? You want to pay that? I mean, obviously you got to pay the man what he's worth, but are you willing to invest money there, or are you looking elsewhere?
What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean? What do you mean?
We got a show to run. I got to ask you the question, my guy.
Oh, sorry. Is that even a question?
Yes.
It's a legitimate question.
So, I'm trying to set you up here.
He's one of the best safeties in the league currently. We've been longing for somebody like this for quite some time since old number 20 roamed the. I'm not going to anoint him to that yet, but we haven't had this type of safety play in a long ass time. Malcolm Jenkins did pretty good. Dawkins, he did all right, you know. But we haven't. I'm on the same draft as I can say what I want. But it's like, when you look at our safety play, I think he makes us better. Not only for the safeties, but also being able to cover different guys and receivers and stuff. His speed and ability, his ball hawking, and not only that. I don't know if you guys notice how he pays attention to the whole game as the route's developing, and when somebody comes in his area and wants the ball,
he'll drop off.
He'll drop off and come get a pick.
Yeah. So see, I'm trying to set you up. Well, you know, I do have to ask the question. You have to. It's kind of like the softball. You hit it out of the park, but then you know, okay. Keep. So if you're going to invest your money, and you only have one to choose. Keep Hargravers or CJGJ.
Man, that's a tough one, but I'm gonna have to go with CJ, bro.
I gotta go with Hargrave. I'm sorry.
See, this is where I was leading you to. I was leading
CJ is not gonna get shit without Hargrave do.
That is an accurate answer, but we have other people that could fill in that position.
Like who else had 11 sacks?
I mean, you got interior? Hey, listen, look, I get it.
But who had 11 sacks in the interior?
There was no opportunity for nobody else because Hargrave was doing his thing the whole time.
Who even looked like they were going to get five? When the chips were down,
who led the team in interceptions? Who did his part five games? You know what I mean? Still came back and played his ass off. Who shut
you
shit
still
down?
Got Reed Blankenship.
Who was covering the field?
White
like,
chocolate.
I mean, like that man.
White hey, chocolate.
Hey, Blankenship. Hey, listen, mad props to Blankenship. I would love to see that kid. You know what I mean?
You call him Blankenship?
Blankenship.
You talking to him or me?
You called him Blankenship? You said call him White Chocolate?
I called him White Chocolate.
And then you called him Blankenship. this is a good question, man. Like, I mean, a lot of people like you got to choose one. I put you right back in your box. And you're like, I got to pick Hargrave. That's what I was trying to see where go with this. Former defensive tackle, maybe you're a little biased. No,
well, not. But see, but this is what I do because you obviously want to keep both. I was like, so one of them, whoever you're closest to negotiating the contract with, you negotiate their contract, and the one you can't negotiate the contract with, you franchise that ass until y'all can negotiate something. It's gonna sting a little, but in the end, it'll be all right.
So Bob from Down Under says Jesse Bates is available. Will you pay $14 million a year? Does Howie Roseman even value paying safeties? When was the last time we paid a safety? I'm just thinking off the top of my head. When was the last time we paid a safety?
We paid Malcolm Jenkins.
Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah. Malcolm Jenkins. Yeah. But then, let man's walk.
CJ, I think he'll pay CJ, but I think CJ will be less than trying to bring Bates in because Bates, you got to think Bates. We're trying to lure Bates in. CJ's already been here. CJ already likes it here.
Bob from Down Under says keep both Dick Cheney.
Yeah, keep both Dick Cheney. Yeah.
Okay. if he makes it work like we know he can work the cap, it'll be interesting. See, but then again, you like. I don't know, man. This kind of shit, I've been losing sleep over the last couple of days, knowing that this period's coming up. I'm like, how much we're gonna obviously play Jalen Hurts,
right?
You guys lose sleep, or no? You guys been sleeping like a baby ever since.
Sleeping like a baby right now.
I mean, it's that because what you?
I'm telling man. I think Howie's going to go ahead and make the right moves. You know, you said earlier, way earlier in the show, it's kind of hard to go ahead and definitely run it back the same way he did last year. I get it, but he started a good trend, and I think he's going to continue it on. So I think he'll be fine, man.
The one thing I do know is I haven't lost any sleep because it's not my job to make these decisions, but it is our job to talk about it. It's like, so I mean, I don't put like you ask me who I want. It's like, but I don't get to make the decisions. So I'm not going to lose no sleep over nothing I can't control. I know you ain't talking to my light skinned friend.
I talk to my dark skinned friend.
T Carmack says, how many years are you hoping for Hurts contract extension? 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years? Me myself, 6 years for Hurts would be nice.
Yeah, man. I'm in that range with you, bro. I think 5-6 years would be nice. 10 years, pushing it too much. A lot of people have been calling for that. Not really a fan 10 years? Of that.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Now,
6 years?
You know what? I'm a fan.
I'm good with the 5-6. I'm good with the 5-6.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm good with the 5 or 6 because you never know. You never know what might happen. You might fall out of love with him. You know, it's gonna be cool.
Hey, man. Yeah, I mean that's gonna be interesting. So we're thinking 45, close to 50,
something like that.
Close to 50.
Yeah, it's gonna be
crazy, man. It's gonna be crazy.
It's going to be redonkulous.
Like I get that it's you have to pay. I just like man when I first it's funny because when you first saw the Kirk Cousins deal, all that guaranteed money, 3 years, and
yeah, he sucks.
I was like, God damn! And then you saw the
and he sucks ass.
You saw the
I hate Kirk Cousins.
The deal that KC gave your boy Mr. 15 over there.
Oh yeah.
You thought that was crazy. Now you look at the market and you're like, you got a deal for number 15. I don't want to say the man's name because I'm still a little hurt.
But who ruined that for us? Who ruined that for us? Like, I know y'all talked about it last week. Well, not
you talking about Deshaun Watson?
No, I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm talking about who ruined that feeling on our squad, in our organization, that we were so hyped up, you know what I mean, to go ahead and sign that man and then – he shit the bed, you know what I mean? And I was one that was on the train all the way. And then, it was hard. And I'm talking about Carson, you know? I'm talking about Carson.
Oh, God. Oh, you went on that train?
Hell no. I was, man.
Hey, the only train I'm on, is the Philly Sports Trips train. Y'all,
Philly Sports Trip.
If
Friday
y'all looking
morning,
to
go
on a little trip. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips. They're doing the damn thing over here. Even answering questions in the comments. They also asked another question, which is 4th and John going to the NFL draft. We're trying to put on a Tank Dog's going on a plane. We're trying to do a draft show at the Hard Rock Cafe live. That's something in the works. Trying to get that off the ground. But shout out to Philly Sports Trips, man, doing the damn thing. They're not only doing Eagles games, they're doing Sixers games, they're doing
Union.
Soccer stuff.
Union.
I said yeah, Union
Sixers.
Stuff.
Sixers.
Soccer stuff. I want to go to a Union game this year.
So too, man. Vince, if you watch it, you know I mean, holler at us because I definitely would love to join you.
I've been to one.
It was great, and I definitely want to be in that. I don't know what they call it. There's a section where it's like rowdiness, the drums.
Yeah, no. I was in the owner's box.
Oh, shut up, man.
I'm
talking about being in that section. That's the section I want to be in. I want to be with the rowdy crew.
So, I just want to be in a section where the bathroom is right there, and I got a ball ass spread of 5 vittles.
You want to be? I just want to be singing a doop 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 doop. I don't know what that means.
Don't forget my damn Skippy t-shirts on Philly Sports Shirts and stuff.com. You know.
So moving on the conversation, we kind of went through some of the positions on defense. But the combine, I mean, you know, we talked about some players that stood out. Any other players you want to shout out?
I shout out Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones. I started looking at receivers because the disdain I have for Quez Watkins and his tomfoolery over this past season reminded me of Nelly himself. But yeah, Charlie Jones is a kid. He's like a kid out of Purdue. I think he ran a 4.4 or 4.39 or something like that. But even though when I watched him at Purdue, he was handling his business. And a kid, Matt Landers, out of Arkansas, about 6'5", 197 pounds of pure speed. Like I think he ran like a 4.43 something. He was rolling like a deer. But it was a couple of sleepers in the receiving court because we do need a third receiver. Did you like the kid out of SMU? Kid, what's his name? Is
Rashee Rice?
Yeah, Rashee Rice.
Yeah. Tank.
Yeah, Tank Dells.
Tank Dells. Yeah.
He's small, but he's his route running was
he's twitchy as hell, man. When we talk about like, you know, we could use a guy on special teams as well.
Mm-hmm.
That could actually get on the field
and
as well.
The ball. Well, yeah.
Not just, yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, I
know
love,
what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
It was like, that was just like a waste of a receiver position because you didn't really put him out there. You kind of want somebody who you can use and who you're not afraid to use and you build that confidence in. And, you know, and somebody who knows the playbook. So
now T Carmack says wide receiver out of Ohio State, JSN.
Yeah, like. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that he's one of those guys that could step right in. I think that fight for who is wide receiver one, I think Jordan Addison from USC, also formerly from Pitt, in the mix right there. I think, you know, those guys, I feel like I'm glad I don't have to rely on a wide receiver in the first round. Like, I feel like we got our guys. It's well, we now got about guy, finding.
We still got to find that third weapon.
I'm thinking about third round type. Or, you know, I'm not really trying to pay that right now in, like, the first and second round.
Last week we was talking about the dude Branch out of Alabama. As he's like a hybrid safety slash guy, kind of like almost like CJ. But there's also the kid out of Illinois that played with Devin Witherspoon. He came in and toasted at a 4.4, at a 4.47 playing safety. And I was watching some of his film. Pops off the tape at you. Him and Devin Witherspoon, man, that was like one of
Sidney Brown. Sidney Brown,
yeah,
right?
Sidney Brown. Sidney.
So I feel like there's something with, you know, former Canadians, man. Sidney's a former Canadian football player. They got like an edge on him. He got a little edge on him because he
they got that hurry up.
Because the players don't, you're like, they're from Canadian, they're not going to ball out. But at the end of the day, he was a captain for their Illinois. Yeah. He was another dude at the Senior Bowl that stood out. Dude, like every single person, I'm like, yo, what you think of Sidney Brown? Like, besides them talking about his abs, like the dude wore the cutoff.
Wait a minute.
Was ripped, shredded. Man, we shredded. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. His play, and then they were like, dude, they're like, this dude out here looks the part, plays the part, and is also a leader off the field as well. So you like that? Let's see. Who else? Sean says Trey Palmer out of Nebraska, one of his favorites. I mean, Helene's on the Devin Allen tip right now. We'll see.
I mean, we'll see what Devin Allen has because he's went through one training camp and he knows what it's like to go through NFL training camp now. Let's see if he has what it takes to, you know, come back and do the same thing. But I guess he's got to do more. I don't know what more he can do besides that head fake and swim and that touchdown. What was it, 50-yard touchdown pass? Toast. Wasn't nobody even near him. Devin Allen.
Todd from down south, St. Dane Henley. Nice ball hawk linebacker.
Yeah.
But we know Eagles don't value that position.
I like him. I like only Henry third out round, of Alabama. Maybe. Henry Toto out of Alabama was up. I like them.
Who else? Christian Gonzalez. I thought he had a good.
That was one that stood out for me. Yeah.
Is it because he's Latino? Is that why?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yo, that's what I do, man. I gotta look out for my, you know, my Latino people. They gotta get some type of spotlight. You know what I'm saying?
I did like Drew Sanders too. Drew Sanders is a linebacker out of Arkansas. About 6'5", 230, 233. He was great on he did great on the drills and stuff, and he looked like a real linebacker. Well, no, the funniest part was he was the only white guy amongst a bunch of brothers. He was standing there amongst all the linebackers. I was like, wow, he must really be tough because he had to go through some.
Sean shouts out Andrew Voorhees from USC. Obviously, he tore his ACL during the drill. I hated to see that. Also, ended up doing 38 reps, torn ACL, ACL and all.
Sit your ass down.
You know, as a football coach, you wouldn't be like, I mean,
no, why would no?
You're not impressed?
I don't know. Man.
Why are you mad? The dude tore his ACL and then got on the bench.
I'm not one to be mad at that. I'm not, but I mean,
I'm not gonna be mad at it, but I can't use that. That's like stomping on a banana.
What is it? I know, but like he couldn't do anything else. He tore his ACL.
I'm just curious to know, like, what does that do?
I'm just saying that.
I get what you're saying. I do, bro, but I'm just like, asking a question. Now I'm putting you.
Because he could easily sit his ass down after he tore his ACL. But he said, "I'm not talking about bench."
I'm just saying, what is benching got to do with, you know? I mean, like
playing. He could be a big player. Look like Tarzan to play like James.
I'm just saying. From a heart perspective, I'm not anything. I'm not saying anything else. That's all I'm saying. I'm giving him a clap for actually doing something after he tore his ACL. He didn't have to do that.
I'm trying to give
some feel good stories at the end of the podcast.
No, damn feel good story.
Moving on.
I can't get that time back out of my life.
T Carmack says Hyatt, Tennessee. What you guys think? Got some juice, man. I thought he would run faster, to be honest.
Yeah. But he still has a pro day, though.
I thought he was 4.3 guy.
I mean, against the competition, he looked like he was a 4.3 guy. That's all that really matters. When you turn on that tape, he's blowing by guys like they're standing still.
See, Bob from Down Under says, "Well said, Gail. That is balls in heart."
Yeah, his balls was in his face. Get the hell out of here! Come on, Bob. You cannot use broom. Bruised fruit are for the cobblers.
Yeah, that shit still exists.
Yo, if I see
a bottle anywhere back there, bro, I'm done.
Yo, if I see how impressed I would be if I saw Tank fall down and he had a beer in his hand and he fell and tore his ACL and still didn't spill an ounce of beer on the ground and he was on the ground. Torn ACL and he didn't spill a beer, I would be impressed. I would be like, you know what? He tore his ACL, but he didn't spill the beer.
I'm a man. I'm a man and I win.
That would be natural for him.
Yes. I'm like, me spill beer? You know that's alcohol abuse, don't you? When you spill a drink, that's alcohol abuse. That's almost a 211. Look it up.
187 on a beer. Shout out to Evan Hollywood Hearn, who's at work today doing the Lord's work as usual. Sometimes Mal, you're called to do the duty. Shout out to Mal, who's probably playing father duty right now, changing diapers. Yeah. Also doing the Lord's work. I don't know nothing about changing diapers, but I shout out to you guys who are out there changing diapers. It's got to be a dirty thing. You still got to change diapers?
Me? Of course, man.
Damn right. He got another baby. Man, I'm going to try and talk for
him. He's 2 years old. Of course I got to still change diapers, man.
Yo, when you're watching the combine, are you wanting to run out there? See how fast your 40 is?
I do. I mean, even though I question what does benching do for somebody playing the position. I've actually had the attempt to go to the gym and see how many reps I could actually get. So, yeah, I mean, seeing the combine, you get that feeling and you're like, damn, you know what I mean? I want to know what it's like.
It just shows if you're working hard in the gym.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're working, I mean, when I was playing, like, the most I got was 16 at 225. Like,
okay.
But I was like, you know what I mean? Like, and you see some linemen come in and don't put up the 225 for like 10 or 9 or 8. You're like, bro, what did you do in the offseason? Hey,
if I'm outlifting
you guys, then it's the not thing good. Is,
the thing that the 225s do supposed to do is supposed to test your endurance.
Okay.
So that's why I was like, you could bang, bang. You means you got.
What was your combine number?
29. With a buck. What a busted burst of sack.
Mm. It's not impressive, though.
Damn. Yeah, it is. I didn't tear my ACL.
I don't care. It's not impressive. I'm a man. I'm right.
I was right. What else can you do? I was like, I still could play with a busted burst of sack. I still could put these dick beaters on you.
Shout out to Todd, who's also a ginger himself. He says that the ginger old lineman from Ginger Jesus School. Shout out to Cody Mock from North Dakota State.
Was he snagging too?
Yeah, he's the guy with no teeth. I met with him at the Senior Bowl. He's a guy, he can play five positions. At the end of the day, that versatility and the willingness to do that at the Senior Bowl, he was I spoke to him and he was just like, you know, he's willing to play any position. I think if Stoutland got his hands on him,
right?
I think I always think Stoutland gets his hands on him, and I did love that Stoutland was running the position drills on a few of those offensive line things. So I'm sure he saw his dudes.
What about Jahir Brown? Am I saying Jahir Brown? Jahir Brown, Penn State safety.
I liked him.
I'm not a Penn State fan. I'm not really a fan of anybody coming from Penn State, but I got to get props, man.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Two key guys that are coming. I know Miles and Saquon. I know where you're going to go, but I'm just saying you got two key guys this draft, Jahir Brown and Joey Porter Jr. So it's just like it's pretty big for those guys to, you know, get drafted at a higher round. I think that'll be an interesting one because, you know, we question the safety position, CJ not being re-signed, not being franchise tag, Marcus Epps. So, you know, are we going to sign one or the other? Or are we not going to sign? Are we going to go a different direction? So, you know, just throwing it out there. I mean, there was a name that caught my attention as I watched a little bit of the combine. I didn't watch it too much. You know what I mean? I admitted that to Hollis before we got on the show. I didn't really pay attention to the combine like that this year.
I wouldn't expect you to because you got a family and some kids and stuff, dude.
Well, no, it wasn't even all about that. I mean, I know last week I didn't really want to talk it about it, you know what I mean, but I was still in that mood to not really like.
Did she put jalapenos in the food?
Wifey always put jalapenos.
I just heard her coming and ask you when I was on. I was like, I wonder does she know that I'm listening to them.
T. Carmack, he says running back Alabama Gibbs was a 4-1. Was it a 4-1-9? I thought it was a 4-2.
Running back Alabama Gibbs. Let's see.
I think if you're gonna get a running back in the second round, if you're gonna move back from that 30 spot, I think there's a potential. You know, I do think there's when I'm talking about the move down spots, I wouldn't mind moving down two spots from 10 to 12. If you know your guy's going to be there, I think from on the, you know, the fifth year option.
Yeah.
When we get that little gift to the Baltimore Ravens, who are now deterring their quarterback from signing there. They gave him that little fifth year option with over there. Gibbs is nice though, man. Gibbs is dude's juiced up, man. Like he's one of those dudes, home run hitter.
Yeah,
good vision.
If you're gonna get somebody, depending on if Bijan is gonna be there, or the kid, I think Charbonnet. Really coming the kid Rashad I think they covered him big time. They were
Roshon Johnson.
Yeah, Roshon Johnson. They covered him big time.
He was good.
How much? A 4-3.
But they said the timing was off on it. That the time was not right on it.
Because Westcott ran a 4-4, but he actually ran a 4.39. Nolan Smith. So.
Okay.
I just worked here.
Thank God.
Well, we couldn't ask you what happened at the combine.
We can't. But I mean, what difference does it make from a 4.4 to a 4.39?
Bragging
rights.
It's a sack versus a quarterback hit.
If he would have got there a point second earlier, hey,
bragging rights, man.
It'd be funny because it's like you say that, but it's like as you get there, you just thought about it, you're like, I gotta turn and run now. But you just get that just a little bit sooner. Because if you get that a little bit sooner, he's gonna pull that motherfucker down because he don't want to throw a pick.
Right.
You see Darnell Washington tied with another Georgia dude. Darnell Washington, it was funny. All the other tight ends were like moving the sled. Comes Darnell Washington. Picked that whole thing, moved it 10 yards in the air. Darnell Washington, I'm telling you, man, you talk about having an extra lineman on the
line of scrimmage. Now we had this discussion last week. Why would you put him at offensive line? You see how
I'm just saying.
Red zone to be 6'7". With that
I'm just saying, in the run game, we would be like having a extra lineman on the field who's athletically gifted.
You know what? It will be kind of awesome because you can put him and Dallas Goedert out there, but then you can run hurry up offense, and as you run hurry up, these you running, play action fake, toast.
Now, company open Ivy League Green says Howie's new draft strategy: draft all Georgia and Alabama players. I mean, you're not going wrong, man.
And if you sprinkle a few Texas players in there,
is that because of
stay away from Oregon and the WAC 12, I mean Pac-12.
Oh, shots fired, man!
Shots fired. Mark ain't gonna like that.
Well, I played shots the Big fired. West, so.
Shots just fired. But we want to give a shout out to, we're still getting more details, but there's on April 22nd, 12 o'clock, 6 p.m., Jordan Malata is doing a food truck fundraiser for autism. You can come meet Jordan Malata, some of your favorite Eagle players, and other NFL greats at this family friendly event. It should be a good time. You know, I think we're going to be there in attendance. If Hollis is eating Grape Poupon, if Hollis is eating Grape Poupon somewhere at some fancy restaurant, April 22nd,
I may stop by and say hello.
Hello, you know,
hello.
It's a great cause. But we're still getting more information on that. We got news of that today, so I just want to put it out there. Put it on your calendar, mark on your calendar. If you're around, it's a good cause. Hopefully, maybe. Jordan Malata sings. I don't know if you didn't get the album. You guys got the album? No,
I didn't get the album.
Christmas album.
It was $80.
I heard it.
I downloaded it for free.
Did you?
No, I did.
Yeah, yo, Hollis got LimeWire. Hollis got LimeWire.
I'm actually with the Eagles Autism. They have an alumni edition. I get your details on any events that I'm doing and raising. What's called them? What say? Tank clothes? Well,
no.
What say?
I'll let that one go. That's good.
You let that one go.
Yeah. Shout out to you, T. Carmack, for joining the show. Giving your insights on
on the ball ass spread of fine free agents we got.
Now Jerome says, "What location? This is going to be. Let me see. This is at the location is at East the Lighthouse Field at East Erie Avenue, Philadelphia, PA. 19140 Lighthouse Field is where the Jordan Milata food truck fundraiser for autism will be. Tickets range from $10 to $50. But we'll have more information for you. Yeah, hopefully, hopefully Jordan Milata comes on the show.
That would be cool. And, yeah, hey, I get to ask him, did he get the mask? Because you know, yeah, he still hasn't responded to that either.
Okay, we'll see. Well, right now, I heard he is in Australia. He's having a rough go after this Super Bowl L.
Shit, wouldn't you?
No, I'm just saying. I'm giving you information.
I was trying to give you information.
Giving you information. Just giving you information.
Nah, it was pretty rough. But I was a glutton for punishment. I watched it about 3 or 4 times.
I can't watch it again.
Because you're a psycho.
Slightly.
But before we get out of here, just want to give a shout out to, Conchi Italian Bakery. You know, we're not doing tailgates right now, but we always want to give them love. Shout out to Bud Light, who also held us down on the off season as well. Love me some Bud Light, man. Love me some Bud Light.
And it cools you off.
It is tasty.
And
it's a great. It is
tasty. Back to you, Chuck.
But before we get out of here, last word from you, Mr. Dick Cheney.
Ah, my bad, Dick Butkus. You know what? This is a great. I think this is a great time for us to lick our wounds and retool to get these birds back to flying. We got kicked. I think Roger Goodell had something to do with it. I don't know where I was going with that, but it's good to be back here, at least thinking about football. Because for a while, I don't know if I speak for the masses. I was totally fucking pissed. I wanted to kick everybody in their face who said go Chiefs. I wanted to kick every official that I saw in the nuts and slap the shit out of them. especially the one that threw their flag at the end of the game and didn't allow the game to materialize and let the players decide instead of him deciding. The one thing that I'm going to leave you guys with is that when you play this game, the officials are supposed to be seen and not heard. If you're going to call the game a certain way the entire game, don't wait to the end, because we all think that it's fixed once you do that silly shit. No matter how much to the letter of the law that call was or everybody thought it was, it still dictated the outcome of the game. So, with that being said, I watched the combine. I'm waiting on the drive. I'm going to Clearwater on check out the Phillies on Friday. I'll let you guys know how it was. It's going to be warm, too.
I was hoping to make that trip, but you know what I mean, work's kicking my ass, man.
Well, I'm going to make the trip.
Boozy ass.
But nah, man. It just puts things in perspective how close you could be to something, and it just slip out your damn hand.
Yeah.
Like your sandwich or something, or the last piece of your donut. You know what I mean? Oh, Jaden Reed was bad, too. I like
that. Yeah, I forgot. I just want to bring up Tim's comment. The Jaden Reed. Shout out to Tim as well. But Big Primo.
That's all I got for you. I'm glad to see Prime back, at least for a short night out there bowling and shit, ditching his boys.
I ain't ditching my boys, man. It was end of month at the job, so I had to hold it down. Got out of work too late, so I apologize about that. But yeah, man, it feels good to be back on the podcast. I needed some time, man. That night we took the L, it didn't hit me as hard because I had a great time with my family, my friends, with you guys. The night went real good. And then the next day, the day after that one, it started kicking in and it stuck with me for a little bit. It sucks to even talk about, man. This one kind of hurt. It's a hurt piece that, still in the back of my mind, but we move on. This is what it's all about. Today, franchise tagging. Next week, free agency hits. It's all about fixing things up or, putting better players in the position to go ahead and get us back to the promised land. So that's the part I'm looking forward to. Bob. This guy. <man. laughs> Anyway, yeah. So it feels good to go ahead and, you know, get back into this position to go ahead and talk some football. I will do my due diligence by paying attention a little bit more to these drafts. Do a little bit more homework. You know, I mean, like I said, I definitely wasn't watching the combine like I normally do, but you know, I see there is some talent out there. I think we're going to be able to fill in these positions pretty good. Again, just waiting to see what Howie's going to go ahead and do. With that being said, you know, on a side note, I just want, you know, everybody to pretty much check up on your peeps, man. This is the time where we don't have the tailgates, the games going on, the interactions that we had during the season. So just check on your peeps. Today, I thought about a lot of people that, you know, I got accustomed to seeing on Sundays, making sure they're good. Shit's starting to get crazy out there again. And, you know, I got to say, a lot of people was depending on us, on the tailgates, on us getting together. It put them in a better mood. And not having this going on right now, you just worry about those people, making sure that, you know, their mind's right and all that stuff and not out there doing anything dumb. So if y'all get the opportunity, just shoot somebody a text, you know what I mean? Just show them that, you know what I mean, you had them, you're thinking about them and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, I, like the rest of the crew, appreciate you guys tuning in, showing us the love that you guys constantly do. I appreciate you guys to the fullest. With that being said, go Birds. To the next one.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that sentiment, Prime. You know, one of my former teammates, shout out to Kevin Reed. He passed away a couple weeks ago. Went to his funeral this weekend. He was our team captain at the at Western Connecticut State, where I played. He was a dude that was – he was the life of the party. He was our captain. He passed, and a lot of my teammates got together. We're talking like 20 years we haven't seen each other, but we all showed up at his funeral. You never know. He mentioned to one of our teammates, "Hey man, we got to see each other before we don't get an opportunity to see each other." Here we are, you know. Step on your peoples, make sure they're good. And at the end of the day, man, you know, call your friends, man. Like I said, man, you never know, man. So just make sure your family and friends are good. For that same reason, I went back to my hometown, got up with all my homies. I didn't care where they were. I was like, yo, I'm gonna roll up. I'm in Connecticut for a day. I'm just rolling up to your house, wherever you're at. If you're at your job, I rolled up. But at the end of the day, check up on your peoples, make sure they're good. And as always, it's Fly Eagles Fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. And I'm trying to hit that button, man.
Oh man, bro.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.